I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to AusBiz Live from our Barangaroo studios. Great to have you company for the call. 10 stocks picked by you. I put them to our expert panel. Let's welcome in the gurus for Monday. Gaurav Sodhi from Intelligent Investor and his old sparring partner, Nathan Somasundaram from Deep Data Analytics, the bear of the market. So how are you both? You feeling feisty today?
Always, Koshy. Yeah. Always, yeah.
It's great times.
All right. Well, what about last week? With the market, the worst week since September last year.
Potentially, the US market is online to be the worst month since September 22.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was funny because I had just finished telling the team that, you know, I'm feeling really good about markets. The things are looking really good. There's not too much enthusiasm. There's a bit of value. Balance sheets are great. I'm in there. You know, I'm really excited. And then it all tanked last week.
Have you changed your mind?
No. I'm still quite bullish on markets. I think this is a very healthy and organized correction. And I do think we are at the start of a new bull market. I did hear Ben. Mentioned that as well, and I completely concur. I think this does feel like the start of a bull market. There's just enough nervousness. There's plenty of things to worry about, but the fundamentals are still quite strong. We've had 2 years of not much happening in Australia. The index has done nothing really for a long time.
Okay,
3 years.
So Ben Clark from TMS is the Ben Gaurav's referring to. Yes, he is always quite an optimist.
Yep.
Let's change tack now. How are you feeling, Nathan?
Well,
how badly are you feeling?
I'm ecstatic because you cannot have rationalization to pull back without everyone being optimistic. The market is at all-time high. Fund managers are trading at all-time lows. Interest rates are at 15-year high. Consumers are struggling.
Yep.
And inflation's potentially maybe going up. Rate cuts are being whittled down. I mean, we're at 6 to 7 now, 1 to 2.
I think
this is the greatest time. I mean, you know, every fund manager says that at the start of the year. I'm actually saying, as a bear, this is the greatest time to invest.
So you reckon it's got further to go? You were talking about NVIDIA. Yeah. What's it dropped in?
So NVIDIA last month peaked at around just over 2.3 trillion. It's now just over 1.8 trillion. So you've just given up $500 billion.
Mm.
Now, you know, that's 2 BHPs disappeared in a month.
Yeah.
Right.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah. And if you think of Tesla, which is probably with options and all that, probably the most traded stock in the world.
Yeah.
In the last, it's trading at 15-month low. And in that 15 month, from the peak, it's halved.
Right. Okay. Right?
This is the growth stocks. This is the two most talked about growth, you know, heroes. And that's what's happening.
So is this the start of a bull market for you?
There's always a bull market coming, but we're in a bear market right now.
Right.
It doesn't feel like a bear market to me.
And I'll tell you why. Because it's just debt funded, right? Everyone is on debt. The government's running endless debt. And so everyone else is going, well, if they can do it, we can do it too.
Yeah.
The last 40 years, well, especially in the last 15 years, every time we got to this level, you need substantial stimulus coming.
Right.
Right now, that's priced in. And with inflation where it is, I don't see that.
Okay.
The biggest concern from a macro point of view that I have is the level of American government debt in particular. That's looking...
$35 trillion.
It's looking as though they can't pay. And I think when you look at what's happening to gold, I'm not the only one worried about that. The gold price is a direct result of excessive American debt and zero plans.
There is absolutely no chance in the next decade GDP will catch anything like the debt. So this is 120%.
Yeah.
And it's only going to go higher.
Right.
Because of where we are.
So government debt in the US, 120% of the total value of the economy.
GDP. And GDP potentially is boosted by inflation.
Yeah.
So it'll hit consumers. So GDP, if you have a weak cycle, it'll come off. So we are all saying, I mean, we've had 15 years of forward borrowing growth on debt. So if we are going to go through, at some point, you have to pay the bill. So if you are saying the logic is you have low growth, assume we avoid recession and all those things, and we have a soft landing or no landing, whatever. So even if you have low growth, debt is going to keep growing. Right now, the US is doing $1 trillion debt every 3 months. And you've got an election coming. They're going to, this is going to go nuts. And then people are worried about who wins the election. I don't care who wins the election. Both sides only have got one plan. Run the debt up.
It's not necessarily awful for equity markets and hard assets, though. If you, I think there are still ways to make plenty of money.
I know. I love this market. With this world. I am more excited about this market being a bear than I have been for years, because we didn't have, because I thought people will be logical at some point and we'll pull the reins in. It's too late now. The horse has bolted.
All right.
That's what gold is telling you.
Okay. So obviously, both gold bugs at the moment.
We've been for a long time.
Yeah, I have been. I can understand why the gold price is rising and why it may still rise. Gold equities are lousy.
Yeah.
You know, when coal prices shot up, coal miners were generating stupendous cash flows, amazing dividends.
Yeah.
Gold prices have never been higher. Plenty of gold miners still can't generate free cash flow.
Yeah.
This is not the same situation. I'm not very interested in many gold miners.
Right.
I've been looking. I want to like gold miners. They're just, it's an awful business. And every time they make money, they find ways to screw it up somehow. That's the one certainty of gold mining. They will stuff it up.
All right. The second half of the show, we have some gold miners. So we'll cover that then. First half of the show, QBE Insurance, another favorite of these two.
Yeah, it's no favorite of mine, Koshy.
Talking point over the years. Gentrack Group, Bubs Australia, Ava Risk Group, and Beacon Lighting. Another stock that the guys have talked about regularly over the last 12 months, South 32. Among the top gainers on the ASX so far today after release of its quarterly update, flagging strengthening market conditions for many of its key commodities. The miner also says does not expect manganese production to come back online until third quarter of 25, as it continues to assess the impact of Cyclone Megan's damage to its Groote Eylandt operations. Shares up 7% so far today.
Wow.
Remember, they sold their coal interest, didn't they, in February, I think it was. Gaurav, you've always, or in recent times, thought South 32 was pretty good.
We've always liked South 32. We got into South 32 when it was spun off and did really well out of it, sold it, made a multi-bagger, and did it again in the next cycle. So there's two occasions now we've made 3x plus our money on South 32. I've always said it's a really well-managed business. It was one of the first big miners to put returns on capital at the forefront rather than volumes in production. And I have a lot of time for the CEO, CFO. I think great combination. More recently, though, I've been a bit concerned about the direction that South 32 has been going. Specifically, I'm worried about the investment in the Hermosa mine. South 32's most valuable cash flow machine over the past decade has been a mine called Cannington. It's actually the world's largest silver producer in Queensland.
Yep.
And it's also has a lot of other credits. It's an incredible ore body. It just made billions and squillions for the miner. And they found a replacement for that ore body in Arizona in the US. And they did commit billions of dollars to develop that mine. It's looking to me with further study that that is probably not the bonanza they thought it was.
Yeah.
It's costing more money to develop. It's probably not as rich as Cannington was. But rather than pull back, they're actually going forward and still developing it on very marginal economics. We look through the study that they proposed for Hermosa, the assumed zinc price is well above market prices. Discount rates are awfully low. Production volumes are very ambitious. I think they're reaching here. It looks to me like a miner trying to fill a production gap because Cannington is about to extinguish rather than a miner that's found a genuinely good resource. I think they've been bailed out by recovering commodity prices, particularly the aluminium complex. Aluminium and alumina have performed fantastically. We've had a buy on alumina for quite some time and again, looked like fools as the price was falling, but it's up sort of, it's almost doubled off its lows now. And it's done quite well this year. That's the place to be if to get exposure to this recovery in alumina aluminium. South 32 still concerns me. The debt position looks quite quite poor. They've sold the most profitable part of that business, which was the coal assets. The nickel business, I think, is now really quite in question because of the disruption in nickel markets. Manganese has been offline for at least 12 months. I reckon it'll probably take longer. This is looking like a business in a little bit of trouble, despite it having excellent management and overall reasonable quality assets. I still think this is not the time to jump into South 32. It's still a sell for me.
Right.
But I will caveat that by saying that it is highly leveraged to metal prices. And if the metal prices keep rising, you'll do plenty well out of South 32. But that's really a hope rather than a strategy. This is still not, for me, my favorite.
Well, the big part of the production report was how well the coal business was doing before they sold it, which is a bit bittersweet. Did they get a decent price for it?
How many people get the price?
You know what? You know what else I didn't like? South 32 has always been a clear communicator with no fuzzy business. Everything is above board and very honest. And when they reported the sale of the coal business, there was nothing wrong about it, but it was extremely fuzzy the way they reported it. Right. They reported there's a whole bunch of complexity with that sale, and they reported it in its maximum light. It's not traditionally the way South 32 has done things.
Yeah. Look, South 32 is bad BHP, and you love it because everyone hates it, right? And that's where you made your money on. Mm. And you do get, I mean, this thing has got more horses running that nobody looks at than anyone else. And so you just need a few of them to run. You got the Russian sanctions, obviously that boosted and the Chinese cutting back on copper, all of those things kind of added to the base metals. Silver's absolutely flying. And in Australia, you can't get silver anywhere else other than South 32. So all of these things have helped. It has about 1.5% short. Last month, the short started to get covered. So that's been an extra kicker there.
I think you're right.
So we're about halfway through that. So that's where the boosts and all are coming. And today's news usually gets a short covering. So you're getting that. It is an interesting play because I want to like it. And I get what Gaurav is saying. And that's what's keeping me. And a number of these diversified guys, because we were negative on iron ore, which has been proven correct. And I think there's probably more to go. Now, so we couldn't go into the big guys. So when you look outside that, you want to look at the diversified guys. Well, IGO, look, we got out early and then they did some dumb stuff and it's blown up, right? Yep. And you go, whoa, I'm staying out of it till things clear. MinRes, you got the iron ore problem and the lithium and, it's come back and it's probably going to be the preferred one. But again, I think the risk is a bit too much for us. South 32, I want to like it. I mean, it had basically fell for a year and it's pretty much going sideways. Everyone wants to like it because they want to have that switch from BHP. It's a big cap, they want to play. And the commodity prices, there's a number of them. Tin is popping, aluminium is popping, copper. So this is
You're buying?
Not really, because that's the problem.
Hang on.
Now, everything looks good, but I'm not going to buy it.
But this is the thing. That's what I'm saying. This is where you have to look through the numbers. I mean, it's all about China. It just comes down to global growth and China. This is where people get excited about copper and go, I'll play the market optimism through evolution, right? I'm getting the gold run and I'll get the copper on the side. Now, do I want to play when global growth is literally low and China is basically saying, I am not pumping stimulus? For a year and a half, everyone predicted China would rain stimulus. It has been wrong every week. There's a story every week and it's been proven wrong. And so for me, without China doing something, you need to see global growth pick up. It's not picking up. No. So you're picking a commodities cycle where I don't see the growth backing it. So once that number moves, then we will chase it. But right now, I think people get excited and then it comes off. It's happened before. It's going
to happen. So you're not buying. Would you hold it if you're in it or get rid of it?
If you're in it, you hold it, right?
Okay.
If you've taken majority of the pain, I think you hold it. The risk return is with you if you've taken the hit. But if you're putting fresh money...
But if you're undiversified, you go evolution.
We've been in it and it's had a really good bounce back. So do you chase it now? I'm always thinking about chasing. But look, resources is a very interesting one here. So I'm picking only the ones that have been belted up. The people don't want to talk about, or people think, that's had the run, or that's probably not going to do well. That's the ones that I'm looking at.
This has been belted, but...
This has been belted, but the commodities are all running. Right. Everyone is talking about it, and that's the problem. But this is on the shopping list, but not yet.
Okay. All right. QBE is the first stock. David, a viewer wants a view. I'll start with you, Nathan, because you've been a big supporter of QBE.
Yeah, it's a...
Gaurav, I think once done, that is the worst run company on the stock exchange.
There's a lot of companies vying for that That's certainly not true anymore. But
okay.
But
yeah. All right. QB, is run with the financials?
Should we bring in the couch?
We'll need it.
Yep. Look, I don't disagree. This is one, even in my younger days, I said this before, one of my old bosses said, look, they managed the upgrade cycle. This is like, it used to be, back in the days, the perfect quant stock, because you always get an upgrade and they flag it and they deliver it. They always beat expectations. When the cycle turns, you get killed. Bond yield trade, insurance stocks, premiums going up. Every inflation measure you look at, premiums going up, and you know, inflation costs. And so this is going to play into it. So they are doing well. If you've been there, yeah, just sit tight. And this will piss Gaurav off even bigger. It's the fact that every time it goes to single digit, you buy it.
I've mocked you for that in the past. It's actually proven
every
to be
time
true.
It goes to single digit, you buy it. And it's a cycle, right? Okay. The 1 year's come back.
So 5 year highs at the moment. Yeah. Hold, no fresh money though.
No. I mean, you've had your run. If you wanted to keep that exposure, I'd probably go to the brokers. Yeah. They probably will leverage
off the
rising prices. Right. They'll do better. It's a sector thing. IAG, QBE, both. IAG did nothing for 3 to 4 years. We sat on it and then it popped, right? You got multiple banger. So you don't get that with a big cap. These guys, that is their leverage point. But you've had the run.
Top of the cycle.
Yeah, so enjoy it.
Go ahead.
I don't know, Koshy. I've said this every time about QBE. I just find it impossible to analyze. And I challenge anyone to comprehensively analyze this business. It's a complete black box.
Yep.
So I have no idea what the risks are. I don't know
what
the payoff
QBE
is.
Or all
insurance companies are incredibly complicated.
I actually listened to a couple of guys who are actual actuaries who do this.
Yeah.
And trust me, they get headaches.
All right.
So what chance do the average
I think it just depends a bit on style. So when I buy a stock, I like to have a very detailed thesis. I really like to get into the nuts and bolts and understand what I'm buying.
Yeah.
And Mathan has a very simple rule for QBE, buy when it's in single digits. And I used to laugh at that because I prefer the really deep dive detail. But his method has proven much more successful than mine.
I just like to say that because it gives me a headache.
So he invests in QBE on a slogan, and you do.
Yeah, and I've been trying
analysis.
To do the work. Yeah. But because I can't make heads or tails. And the truth is that insurance businesses are impossible to analyze conventionally. You do need shortcuts. I think Mathan has been wiser than I have in coming up with a shortcut. And just exercise.
It's just at that point, it's been belted for everything, right?
Look, I will say that in the past, this has been an awfully managed business. The previous long-serving CEO used to treat this as a bit of a roll-up. They bought awful businesses, rolled them up, fudged the numbers, and made it look fantastic for years. They've recently, over the last couple of years, probably 2 years, maybe less than 2 years, 1 year, 2 years, they've got new management in there. And this is now, this has been a very successful turnaround. The management has really cleaned up the acquisition trail. It looks like they've cleaned up the insurance book, and the returns have looked a lot better and a lot more stable. There's been no big giant holes anywhere in the insurance book, and that tells
you
that's
getting easier to understand.
I still think it's hard to understand, but I have more trust in the people running that business now, and you need that trust to buy
an
insurance
business.
When
you've got a rising bond yields, it makes everything look good.
Yeah, you're probably right about that as well.
But that's the time to clean it out.
It is, you're right. That's the time to clean it out.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
It's the timing.
So they've executed really well, this new management. I think there's a lesson in that. If you don't trust the people running an insurance business, stay away from it. But once you do, you probably then can use some of these shortcuts. And I think Mathan's one is probably a decent one. Single digits by, when do you sell Math? Like 20
no,
bucks?
I mean,
I don't know.
Look, 20 bucks is historically when the I don't want to say it, but the less smarter brokers start pushing in. And you get to like 18 to 20 bucks. And I go, oh my God, now everyone's on it. Yeah. That's when I worry. So
well,
I think we're pretty close. We're pretty close. So if you're there in this kind of market, it actually is not a bad sector to be in.
Right.
Because I think the risk is bond yields go higher. So I'm happy to hold, but I would not put fresh money.
But you'd never.
Are you holding?
I'd be selling. Because I like to buy things I understand at a really deep level. And this is just not a business you're going to get to that understanding with ever. Okay. So it's
not
always,
for the
almost always going to be a sell for me.
Is Gentrack a simpler business? It's basically a billing software company. Bills for energy retailers, Gaurav doesn't. I think. is it Foxtel that runs the billing service for that? So
it's mostly utilities. They came out of New Zealand. And
New Zealand tech business?
That's
New Zealand
it. Tech that's business. It.
Yeah,
there's the finger.
Yeah, you always have a look at New Zealand tech. But they came to prominence because the UK energy and water markets were deregulating. And so instead of having only a couple of potential customers, utility customers to sell their software to, they went over there and sold it to a whole bunch of newly deregulated entities, and the business kind of exploded. I used to own this stock actually, and it did very well in its first in its first incarnation. What happened then was one by one, all those fresh utility customers started going bankrupt. The rules in the UK were a bit unclear. These businesses were very inexperienced, and they started just collapsing. And so this is supposed to be a very stable business. I mean, utilities are dead boring, dead stable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is revenue billing software, which is an absolutely mission critical piece
so
of software.
So you can see that in 5 years, obviously, with that. And then it was in no man's land for 2 years, 3 years.
That's right. And then you had COVID. So the second part of this business, it's got the revenue billing systems. It also has airport management software, which is an off-the-shelf. It's not as complex or as sophisticated, but it's a very simple piece of off-the-shelf software. It sells rather well, and they do pretty nicely out of it. But it does depend on air travel and airports, airlines upgrading their systems.
Okay.
So that was dead through COVID as well. Now, you've had simultaneously a recovery in that UK utility market, and you've had a recovery in the air travel market. And you've had the installation. The management wasn't awful to begin with, but you've got new management now who've done a magnificent job turning this business around. I don't mind saying that we bought this on the low at a dollar something, and have ridden it up all the way. We've sold it from the portfolios, but I actually have been really impressed with the numbers coming out of Gentrack. And I still think there's probably more good news to come. They keep upgrading numbers, and management is awfully conservative with their guidance. It is a business that's only doing $10 million of net profits. It's almost an $800 million business, so it's incredibly expensive. But I reckon in the next couple of years, they'll double that net profit. And it's a very high quality business, so it should hold a really high multiple.
So I'm quite happy
to hold this for now.
Hold it, right.
It's extremely expensive. And I don't think we'll get the same kind of crisis pricing as we have in the past, because that was really an unusual situation.
Yeah.
Hansen is the good comparison with this. It should be a stable, high margin, high cash flow business, and that should attract high multiples. It's a very good quality business. I'm very happy to hold it.
Okay, Nathan?
Yeah, don't disagree with anything Gaurav said. It's a New Zealand tech. First step is just buy and then look at it after. But the thing is, everyone knows about Gentrack. It's a bit small for our clients. I mean, mind you, some of our clients punt. My God. So in the index,
a bit of fun.
I know. I do tell my clients. I go, if I tell you not to do it, you're not going to listen. So we give them tools to stop them losing too much in the punt part of their portfolio. So in our models, it's too small. It's 100 mil right now, and it's had a huge run. So you can only imagine what it was before. So in that context, it is expensive, but geez, it's on that great upgrade cycle. The simple answer is, the first downgrade you get, you throw the kitchen sink and leave, right? But it's a hold, because in an upgrade cycle, the thematics are working for them, and it's hard to go against it, and you never want to tell someone to sell something that's doing that well.
Yep.
But Grab's right, the multiple is phenomenal, and growth stocks are coming off, so value is outperforming, so that's against it.
Yep.
It is a cyclical. Different cycle, but it's a cyclical. So yeah, it just comes down to the first downgrade. Right. When I see the first downgrade, there's going to be a lot of people running to the door. So just understand.
So hold, but be agile on them. Yeah. Speaking of downgrades, Sassy wants a view, Nathan, on Bubs Australia, the infant formula group. Goat and cow's milk has had all sorts of board reshuffles over the last 12 months.
There's a lot of things happening.
Found her out.
Yeah, I mean, it's you've had the bounce in A2 milk. The whole China thing, opening up, recovery, there's a lot of things priced in. I don't know if we are in the same market. It was a time in the market where the Australian baby milk powder going into China had a competitive advantage. You build that brand, And then once you have that brand, the next generation takes it from the previous generation, so you get this rollover of brand. When you've been out of that cycle for a period of time, other people have replaced you, they have the same advantage. You're coming in fresh. So whether, you know, it's a lot harder to do. And Bub is, look, I think you have to, I mean, it's been smashed, right? So at the end of the day, you have to trust management that they can execute and deliver. I think they're forecasting cash flow positive next year. It's a tough year to be forecasting cash flow positive into next year. It's going to be tough. But if you, you know, believe in the management, then you put a bit of money and see how they go. But for me, it's just too hard. It's just the whole sector is too hard. I think the cycle is against them. And I think A2 Milk's expectations are a bit high at the moment. I'd take my money and run on that as well. So Bub is going to be tough. But I am a fan of the goat milk thing. But it's one of those things, you know, at the right time, at the right place, certain stocks have everything going for them.
Okay.
They had it, but it, you know, it didn't work out.
Well, the Chinese now want our wine.
Yeah, so wine's a bit different to, I think, baby milk. Wine's, the brand is a brand, and that will help them a bit. But even Treasury, for that argument, they went and made a massive acquisition in US. They've diluted themselves because at the end of the day, it was previously, it was priced as a growth stock because of China. No one pays premium like China. So if you don't have China, you're not a growth story. They went and diluted themselves in US. So even if they get China, it's always going to be less than what it was before. So it's tough.
Okay.
We should talk about Treasury one day. Someone asked about it. Not for today, but I've got thoughts on Treasury, but not for today. Bubs is interesting. You made some good points there about the infant formula market. I think this is a great example of an industry that was just over-earning for many, many years, and investors had extrapolated those super profits into the future. And I think what happens in this market is that mothers tend to stick to a particular brand, the same brand, but they all work in a cohort, and the next cohort, you then start afresh in a new cycle, and a new brand has the opportunity to be the one.
Yeah.
There's so much herding that goes on, and when you think about it, it kind of makes sense. You know, all the mothers go to the mothers' groups, they share information, and it's a very faddish kind of purchase. Everyone does the same thing together, and the next cohort comes along, and there's an opportunity for a competitor to come and do the same, to disrupt the existing leader and start all over again. So it's there's that happening, and then at the same time, you had this whole unwinding of the foreign premium in Japan. For many, many years, foreignness was seen as superior, especially coming from a Western country. Any Western brand was seen as superior.
Australia and New Zealand seen as green and clean.
Absolutely.
And,
it's just not the case anymore. In China, Chinese brands are seen as parity for Western brands. There are plenty of...
That's actually happening in a lot of other products as well.
Yes, that's right. And a lot
in
of products.
In a lot of products. So the local brands are taking over and everything from electronics to clothing to everything.
So, you know,
so it'd be harder to get back if there's... if it opens up again.
I don't think that opportunities... So the if you're trying to normalize profits from, you know, 2017, 2016, that's just not going to happen.
Okay.
I think those times are long gone and aren't going to return. Now, this is a company that has a 50% market share in the goat formula market, 5% market share of the total infant formula market. This is substantial volumes. For 6 years, they have not generated positive cash flow, and they're forecasting positive cash flow next year. Something is wrong here. You know, it's badly managed. They don't have the right distribution strategy.
They couldn't take advantage of the problems that the U.S. had with baby milk.
Yes, that's a good point as well. They've had a
Joe
lot of external
Biden
headwinds. Something is wrong. It's not working. They have the volumes. They're at scale. They can't even make positive cash flow, let alone net profit. This is a strong avoid for me right now. Until they can prove they can fund themselves, and fix whatever is going wrong in that business.
Okay. All right, next doc, Damien wants a view on AVA Risk Group, the risk management technology services. They protect perimeters of infrastructure projects, logistics.
I've never heard of this business before, but it's a 35 million market cap. It's been around for 30 years.
Wow.
That always rings a bit of a red flag with me. A business been around 30 years and only been a $35 million market cap. Yeah, it tells me it hasn't been very successful in the past. And so what's going to change? You know, has something changed? It doesn't look like it to me. I mean, as you said, Koshi, it sells a whole bunch of hardware. So security gear, sensors, cables, biometric readers, cameras. This all seems highly competitive and tech dependent. You know, that someone in the world is going to come up with a better product to replace yours. You have to invest to keep up with all of it. It doesn't sound like a great business. When you look at the gross margins at 60%, much higher than I would have expected. But the net margins are tiny, which means that, you know, whatever they're doing to generate those gross margins, they're spending it all at the bottom line. There's not much cash flow, and it bounces around a lot. They're forecasting, you know, for a business that's been around 30 years and has never made more than sort of $1 million, they're forecasting going from break even last year to between $10 and $20 million in operating profits in the next 2 years. That just seems wildly ambitious, and I'm not sure they've articulated a clear strategy of why a profit's going to tenfold or 20-fold in the next 2 years.
And its valuation is 30 million.
And well, I think the market is correctly skeptical about that claim as well. Hmm. I don't think this is a proven business yet. This is a void for me. I can't see why you don't.
We might get them on Auspiz and ask them why is
profit going to tenfold in 2 years?
Yeah. So it's been in a...
I'm sure they have an answer.
Or a three-year downgrade cycle.
You'd hope so.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
We'll find out.
It's been on a...
Let's hope that's not his answer. Yeah. We'll find out.
Over 3 years of downgrade cycle, and a broker still covers it.
Oh, really? Brokers cover it? $35 billion business. Okay.
And they downgraded just a couple of weeks ago by 10%, target price to 30 cents, and it's trading at about less than half that.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So no broker downgrades if they think they're going to cap raise or do some action. So I don't see they're going to be doing anything dramatic.
Yeah.
It's in a downgrade cycle. Avoid. It's a tough market for micro caps. Avoid. I think this is just too hard. It's just you put it in the too hard basket. You want to see upgrade, you want to see a plan, you want to see how these guys are going to turn around. And at the moment, I don't think I know, and I don't think the market knows.
Okay. All right. Next stock, Beacon Lighting. Nathan, the big lighting retailer, 120 stores and franchises around Australia.
Yeah. Look, it's a property play. And, you know, property is holding up and...
So they own all their properties?
Oh, no, I'm more to the point where it's new homes and renovation stuff.
Okay. Yep.
And that's what you're playing at. And the reality is Australia runs on two things. We run on commodity pump or we pump property. So we don't have the commodity run and iron ore has come off. There's no way anyone's going to attack property.
Right.
So if property comes off, it comes off because of macro issues, not because the government's going to go against it or anyone. So in that context, property is holding up. So it's a stock, and I think it does okay here. But geez, we're in this cycle where debt, everyone's loaded up. So if interest rates remain where they are, and I'm not forecasting it, I'm just telling you that the Fed cuts have almost disappeared for most of this year.
Yeah.
RBA is unlikely to move because if they move ahead, they want to move, but they can't move because there's a currency risk and it feeds into the inflation.
We'll sort of know this week, right, with the March quarter.
I don't think it matters.
Right.
I actually don't think it matters because it's the Fed. If the Fed, at the moment, we outsource the fight for inflation to the Fed. So till the Fed cuts, everyone else can talk about it. But it's very hard for them to do it because your currency will get diluted.
Yep.
And our bond yields are already at a discount. That's hurting our currency. So if they cut, you're going to see much more. And then inflation runs on that. I think it'll be tough. So I don't think it matters, the inflation measure at the moment. I actually think it's going to hold or tick up anyway, so it doesn't matter. So I think the rate cuts are out. So I suspect you probably had a good run. I would say where we are, the market was pricing in rate cuts. Now that that's going off the table, consumer spending weakness, kind of plays into it. I suspect Beacon Lighting's done well. I would take the money and go.
Right.
And it's a lot of retail stocks that bounce through the first half of the year on backward-looking data. Forward-looking, things will get weaker. So I would take the money and I'd be a seller on this.
Correct.
This is a very interesting business. Thank you to whoever mentioned this, because I probably haven't paid much attention to Beacon Lighting over the years. And, you know, when we talk about good quality retail businesses. Yeah. I think everyone has the same list we talk about.
Yeah.
I say probably Lovisa, JB, right. Nick Scali, Premier.
Yep.
They're probably the big ones. I would include Beacon Lighting on that list.
Yeah. Wow.
It probably deserves a place there, and I don't think I've ever heard it placed within in that illustrious category. But this is a pretty good
quality
business.
I'll give you another one, Share a Shop.
I have, well, that's debatable. I think you can make that point. Yeah. Yep, it's debatable, but not a bad one. Yeah, you can probably add that as well. This is really interesting, really interesting. So the first thing that really stands out, EBIT margins of 20% and net margins of 10%, that's very high for a retailer, especially one that does sort of commoditized goods. I mean, that's very interesting. That suggests a level of vertical integration. Because only a retail that's vertically integrated and that controls their distribution or design or manufacture can generate margins like that. So for similar measure, Lovisa does probably 30-35% operating margins, 20% net margins. Not quite as good as Lovisa, but pretty good, much higher than I would have expected. And 10% of sales are online. A third of sales come from the trade sector. Now, when the first time I looked at this business, this was entirely retail focused. They had less than 10% of their sales going to trade. Mm-hmm. So they're actively growing that trade component. They have a target of 50% of sales from trade. That is really good. Trade. What that really does is that lifts your inventory turn. Yeah. And it really helps your returns on capital because you can shift inventory really quickly if your trade component starts kicking in. And I think that's what's been happening with the decent returns this business is generating. The other thing that's interesting, I had no idea about, is they have a 50% ownership in a property fund. And that property fund owns 7 properties, large scale format retail properties.
And of which they're the tenant?
I don't know if they're the tenant or not. I'm not sure they are the tenant. I think they just own these outside their own ownership structure. I'm not sure, that's something to investigate. But they own $100 million of property plant equipment on their balance sheet, which again, really weird for a business like this.
It might be a hedge for their cost base.
Possibly. I think there might be something
smart.
Else.
Yeah, it's smart.
Inside the business, they're building a little property empire, like $100 million for a $600 million business. Very interesting. 50% ownership in this growing property portfolio. You'd want to do work on that. I'd be interested in doing a bit more work on that. It's a 20 times P, 3% yield. Cash flow is really good. Free cash flow looks a little bit weak, but you can forgive that. I think what you need to look at here is the potential cyclicality in this business.
Yeah.
You're right, it should be exposed to housing. I would have thought this is a okay time in the cycle to be buying this, but the results are probably too good.
The market is already priced in. I mean, so it's not an unknown stock.
Look, this is
if you're in it, you'll hold.
I certainly would hold this, I'd pop it on the watch list. And it's probably me not being overly familiar with this, but this actually looks really good to me. And it's certainly one for
It's a good business. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's just that it's in the wrong
side. It's surprisingly good business, one that doesn't get a lot of attention.
But see, property is pretty simple. It's demand and supply. Hmm. There's a massive shortage that's getting worse.
Yes.
Property value is not going to go down. And housing approvals are at 10-year lows at the moment. So the pipeline's dropping off as well.
Yeah, it's kind of like, this is what worries me about the economy. It's not like being a politician, it's not brain surgery, right?
No.
You have standard policies, and when you're in opposition, you go, yeah, that's wrong. And I'm in government, maybe that, this. And so everyone talks about, I'm going to do this, that to reform the market. When they get into government, they go, maybe.
Yeah, no.
And then you get into this trouble. And
property.
Exactly. So as I said, you got two. You can only pump one or the other. One China pumps, the other one we pump.
You know, in the intelligent investor offices, there used to be a quote from Lindsay Lohan plastered big and large
Lindsay
office.
Lindsay Lohan. I thought you were going to say Warren Buffett.
No, Lindsay Lohan,
Lohan
was in the office.
Didn't even come on my radar. And what was it?
The quote was, it's not rocket surgery. And we used to have a big sign just reminding everyone that simple is always best.
Yep. It is.
Perfect.
But it's not rocket surgery. In saying that, in Australia, and it's not just Australia. I mean, I look at countries in Europe that have no interest in pumping property, and they're all at all-time high. So this is a global play because of what the debt cycle has done. So again, we haven't had this cycle in 50 years, and it's happening. Right now, we're in denial stage where we go, no, interest rates will come back. I know people who, when I talk to people, and they go, rates are going to go back to zero.
Oh, no.
I go, what, you're hoping for a pandemic?
We'll be in depression.
Exactly. Yeah, so I think that's we are not used to cycles.
No.
and the cycle will come.
All right. Okay. Let's recap the first five stocks. South 32, sell from Gaurav, hold from Mathan. QBE, sell, hold. Gentrek, a hold from both. Bubs, a no, avoid from both. ABA, an avoid. Beacon Lighting, sell from Mathan. And a hold and watch list from Gaurav. High conviction fantasy fund is picked by the investment committee. Mathan's on it. April Camplify was sold, much to Mathan's chagrin. Woolworths is in at 5% weighting. Soul Patch and Macquarie were trimmed by 2%. BHP was increased by 2%. The fund's up just over 27%. This half hour, Wes Farmers, Coronado Global, Gold Road and Veeam plus Sonic Healthcare as well. Gaurav, Wes Farmers, Thomas wants a view on Wes Farmers. It's got a bit of everything. It's like a listed investment company, is it?
That
not
it
just
is.
Yep. Not just the Bunnings and the Office Works, but Kmart, it's in lithiums, Priceline it owns now.
Mathan calls this listed private equity, and I think that's an accurate description of it. We own this in the funds. There's a small cohort of Australian stocks which I would classify as never sells. You can just hold them through the cycle. Sometimes they look dear, sometimes they look expensive, but you probably do better just hanging on to them over the long, long run. And Wesfarmers is, for me, on that list. Capital allocation, I would say they probably erred in the purchase of Coles. They paid way too much for that, but they still turned that into a reasonable outcome, even though they paid way too much for it.
They had to get out of it, yep.
Yep, and they did okay from it. The recent acquisitions look good. Balance sheet's fantastic. The lithium business hasn't even started earning it, which is why it looks expensive on screens. It's because lithium is going to contribute meaningfully and has not done so yet. Everything else is wonderful. Kmart and Bunnings is just two of the great retailers in Australia. Wonderful management. I'm happy to hold this. It's certainly not cheap. But I think investors benefit from just staying inactive in Wesfarmers, trying to buy, hold and sell this all the time. Just buy it once at a good price and sit there and do nothing.
So you'd buy it at these
levels? I'd hold it. I'd hold it. Yeah, okay. Wait, there'll be all pullbacks right. every now and again. That's your opportunity to buy it. Yep. But just don't sell it. Just hold it. You'll do fine.
Olympic silver medalist in rowing, which I think is pretty good, but he married a gold medalist in water polo. So great guy.
I know.
Terrific business person.
It's, Gaurav's all right. It's a listed private equity. There's a handful of them. And if you buy them cheap, then who cares what anyone says?
So Soul Patts, you'd put there.
Soul Patts.
I'd throw Infratil in there as well.
Which one?
Infratil.
No, I've never seen it. Infratil, Wesfarmers, Macquarie.
Seven Group.
Goodman Group.
Yes, I put Seven Group in there.
Now Seven Group's got into that.
You can buy those and just hold them.
If you buy, so the thing about those ones is that they will give you a discounted cycle.
Yeah.
Because people always think they're not cyclical and they're like, it's a Warren Buffett stock. Come on. If you're trying to beat the index. So here, if you buy that cheap, you're not going to care, right?
Right.
This is expensive.
Yep.
I don't care what anyone says. It's expensive, right? Mm. So if you're trading the stock, it's a sell.
Okay.
But we are actually not in any of those at the moment. Mm. We sold out all of them. And I think all of those ones, I mean, think of Wesfarmers is currently trading pretty close to where it was when rates were zero. Mm.
Yep.
So it will come off and you'll get a buy. But if you bought it cheap, don't worry, just sit tight. It's fine.
So these are on your watch list.
Yes, when they get
for cheap. When there's a correction in the market, say we go through like we did last October, everyone's...
There's about six or seven
Even
stocks.
Though we're in the early stage of bull market, you'll get a pull. That's when you set yourself
like
in those and
I always
just
say,
forget it.
CSL is the best growth stock, right?
Yep, at 250.
It's a sell. You get every couple of years, you get a 30-40% pullback. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
You get your pullback.
Wait. All right. Kat's wants a view on Coronado Global Resources, the coking coal producer in the Bowen Basin in Queensland.
Interesting for coal.
So this is coal that goes into steel mines rather than the thermal coal that goes into
steel's
power
done,
plants.
Steel's done really well, right?
Yep.
Beaten expectation. And in recent times, it's actually outdoing even the Chinese demand. So I don't know how that works, but anyway. Yeah. So at the moment, I think they've got a fair amount of... I can see why the market is not getting excited by it, right?
Yeah.
But on the energy side of things, we've had oil, and we're positive on oil. Uranium's done well. Coal is starting to look positive. Now, steel has outperformed iron ore. So I think there is a the stock bar sitting there at some point that that'll have an effect. So that's why Coronado would probably. And you can see why Whitehaven and all diversified. You know, you want to have both sides of the game. So you're probably better there. But I am looking at all the energy segments. And I think some of the energy is probably one of the few sectors on a global basis are on a discount to long-term averages. So they are actually cheap. But this, for me, on the macro side is not playing yet because I think steel's overdone. You need growth, you need demand. China is not doing anything. Steel is still producing a fair amount. So steel is actually pretty high. So you're kind of playing a cycle that's producing.
In it, hold it.
Yeah, you've been beaten up for it. Yeah, you know you've got funny? The cycle.
We started off with the show with me going complex on QBE and you having a simple rule. This is the opposite here. You're going really complicated.
Let's go to the kick of
So for me, that's what I'm saying. At the moment, I would actually buy the baseload energy providers for the consumer side of things, but I'm staying out of the steel play for the moment.
Right, but you're buying thermals.
Yeah, I'd buy thermal, I'd buy uranium, I'd buy
oil. Hope, and,
The rule for Coronado is sell. That's the rule.
Okay.
This is not a good business. This is not a good coal miner.
Okay.
I've never liked Coronado. That chart was just up a little while ago. While everything, while Whitehaven and New Hope were multi-bagging and paying out huge dividends, this thing did nothing. And part of the reason is because probably the best asset they have is the Curra mine. And that's got some really difficult contracts. So the Curra is a huge mine, but it does met coal and thermal coal. The thermal coal is sold to a nearby power station at a loss. And that contract has been locked in until 2027, I think it is. And not only that, every ton of met coal that gets sold earns a rebate that goes back to the power station as well.
Yeah.
So the power station is just eating the lunch of Curra.
Right.
I don't know the history about that contract, so I don't know who to blame for it, but it's an awfully written deal.
So sell on this.
Sell on this. And it's not just that. The other assets aren't very good. Let me just give you a quick cost analysis here. This is $160 a ton cost. $160 a ton. New Hope just reported a $70 a ton cost. Whitehaven is $100 a ton. Like this is, it's a poor quality asset managed poorly, which has never done well. There's no reason to own this stock.
It's been belted.
Buy New Hope and even Whitehaven.
I was going to say, are you getting back into thermals?
I've never sold thermal, so I haven't sold any New Hope. I hung on to all those shares.
Right.
I sold a whole bunch of Whitehaven, but I still think, but that's because I was massively overweight. I just bought my position size to a more normal level.
Yeah.
I still am very happy to hold Whitehaven through the cycle. I think we're looking at, I mean, I said this years ago, we're looking at probably 5 to 10 years of super normal returns for coal miners.
Yeah.
You access those returns via dividends. The Whitehaven deal, which I was very cross about, I'm getting a little more comfortable with.
No.
The reason is they
bought
financed that deal very cleverly.
BHP.
In my numbers, I had assumed they would raise equity to fund that deal, they actually used vendor financing. BHP is paying for the cost for most of that deal.
Wow.
And they paid a slightly higher price, but so intelligently financed.
Smart management, like
that,
Ansel.
It actually saves
like Ansel, that do a deal that doesn't dilute you at the bottom.
Yeah, I'm still happy with Whitehaven. If you don't have any Whitehaven, it does not look crazy here.
No,
I think it's still perfectly fine.
Okay.
But New Hope looks cheap.
Yeah, that's
okay. I'd still be
logically
happy
that like I'm just looking at it and going, it's, you know, there's, I mean, it's not about climate change or anything. I'm just looking at returns, right?
Yes.
And you go the risk return where you are.
Yeah.
I think the energy baseload energy players are going to see support.
But Gaurav's point is, you get paid in dividends.
Yeah.
So don't, a lot of retail investors just watch the share price the whole time.
Coronado is trading at a really low multiple.
It is. It looks very cheap, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
You know, we always say, when you've been beaten up and you look cheap, danger.
Yeah, you're right.
It's danger.
Danger.
Keith wants, or Kath wants a view. Mathan, you were talking about gold stocks. You're liking at the moment. Do you like Gold Road?
Yeah, look, we like Gold Road. We've been in it for a while now. It had a few.
Did you say cheese or geez?
Geez.
Because the main asset's called Gruyere. Okay, I thought you got cheese. I thought that was a good little joke.
I should have used that. Okay, I'll use it next time. I didn't think of that.
He did cheese before. I thought that was a different word when he went into it too. I was going, mate.
So it gets hit on M&A. I mean, the market, like sometimes I look at these guys, gold stocks must wake up and go, what are they going to blame us for today? And because when they do M&A, right, everyone bashes them over the head going, what?
Like Gaurav does.
Yeah, like Silver Lake, right? Silver Lake got hammered four times for the same acquisition. I'm sitting there going, what? They already told you this. And they hammered. And now everyone's going, oh, so maybe now that the gold is at all-time high and Aussie dollar is 3,700, yeah, we better buy that. So now everyone's coming in. And right. it's amazing how this changed. So, you know, they go, well, we're still talking about an M&A, but we haven't, nothing is confirmed. And the stock gets hammered.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, if they did a deal, you hammer them. If they don't do a deal, you hammer them. So it's like, what?
That's because the results are crap. When they start actually making money the way
the results were, the sector results weren't great.
Cornelius was good.
Yeah. I mean, but look, at the end of the day, Northern Star came out and said, oh, our costs are high, and it was 1700. And you go, yeah, the price is 3700. Don't care.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think there is a certain level of when the tide goes up, all boats go up. Gold Road, for me, in the smaller end, is one of the better ones. It has exposure to the explorer as well as the producer. So I'm happy staying there. Yes, investing in gold miners is volatile. If you don't have the stomach for it, don't be there.
Right.
But I have the stomach for it. We've been there for a while. We've had a good run. There's more to come.
Okay. So a hold for Gold Road.
Buy. I would buy.
You would buy it?
Yeah. We bought it on the last dip for more clients. I'm happy to buy it. I think...
Is that your pick?
The problem is like Northern Star Evolution for the size for where you are, they were, but they've run harder.
Yeah.
So they've probably run too much. Now we're buying the dogs that nobody wanted, Silver Lake and Regis.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The dogs are now running. Right? Okay. And Gold Road is... It's not a dog, but it's actually underperformed. So I was like, buy. And so for me, yeah, I look up, we have a big exposure in gold.
Yeah, the sector's a dog, there's no question. It's so hard to find decent miners here. I mean, I've been really looking because I do think gold prices deserve to be high. The debt levels are really scary. I'd love to find a gold miner, but they're just so crap, aren't they? This is one of the better.
So you don't have one?
I don't have a single one.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. You know what? Sorry to digress again. But the thing about it is, all the good quality ones, you know, the ones people go Warren Buffett type thing.
Yeah.
God. But anyway, those ones, everyone knows they're priced for everything. There's bloody ETFs doing that work, right?
Yes,
you're not going to beat that.
Yeah.
We are in a cycle where, you know, the downers, when I tell a client, downer EDO, they go, oh. And I go, I know. Like Lendlease, we go, oh. And, you know, we made 30%.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think there are dogs where the risk return is actually not that bad. I think in this, they are. Okay, I'm not arguing that gold stocks are hard. Mm. I'm not arguing that they're not going to be volatile. But it's all-time high.
So he's overweight.
Yeah.
You've got nothing, but you're overweight coal.
I'm probably, I went from 40% in coal, more than 40, I was maybe, but went about 50% in coal. I'm probably down to about 14%.
Oh, right, okay.
So, and I call that's still pretty overweight.
I would have both.
But that's sensible.
Right. We have
I can't have both. Why, if you have a dollar of capital, why would you put it in a gold miner when you get such solid returns?
So, for example, right? Everyone is asking me the same question. They're on Woodside and Santos and Aspen. Yeah.
They're both crap. Leave
exactly. I said, I bought Karoon, right?
Exactly.
I bought Karoon and I've been backing Yaron for a while.
Yeah.
So there is a difference.
Look, just quickly, no, high quality assets, excellent, really good quality assets, but they don't have majority stakes. They're not the operator in anything they own.
We waffle.
They've just tried to buy a huge Canadian gold mine, which would double the market cap of the business. Canada has been a graveyard for Australian miners, so be cautious about that. The asset does look very good. I can see the attraction, but the risk gets heightened a lot. There's going to be a monster capital raising coming because they have to basically pay for the whole business again to buy this Canadian mine. I think the riskier here is you end up with a business that owns a series of minority stakes in other people's mines. It's not ideal. I'd say hold. It is well managed. Okay. It's a good quality asset base, but they don't really own anything. It's almost like a venture fund in gold.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Adrian wants a view on Veeam.
Mm.
This is small. Look, Winchester, I think. Has been following this stock for a while, and when he comes on the call, propulsion systems, stabilizers for ships, things like that, based in Newcastle, I think.
Yep. Very interesting. We've looked at this in the past, actually. What's interesting about this is here you have a company that has genuine world leadership in a technology. Mm. It's a niche industry with not many competitors. They own manufacturing.
Family business, too.
And family business. It's been in, and it's made a profit and paid a dividend every year for something like 20 years.
Yeah.
It's a real business with a real product and a real specialization. Yet you look at the financial returns, you know, like, it doesn't, the returns don't signify a business with that sounds as good as the one I just described to you. Well, I will say what's happened recently is that there's been they've got a new product that they're manufacturing at the moment. There's a new kind of propeller blade that's been designed, and it looks like it's catching on now. They have the exclusive license to manufacture this new propeller blade and sell it, and they pay a license fee to the business that developed the blade, but they do the manufacturing, the sale. They actually captured the lion's share of the margin on those sales, and those sales are taking off. The market's well on. It's amazing how efficient the market is, right? You don't believe in market efficiency. Just have a look at that chart. Yeah. A small business with a small change and the share price has taken off. Look, I'd still hold this. This is a really interesting company. 35 times earnings is not cheap, but it's worthwhile hanging in there to see what happens with this propeller. It's apparently better at everything, and everyone should be using it. And they've got the monopoly manufacturer of it. So this is no PWR. PWR, I compare it to that because it's a niche business with a niche technology. They generate stupendous returns, and these guys, average. I would still, if I had it, I'd still hold it just to see how it develops. But I wouldn't be buying.
Michael? Yeah. I'm not going to be going into the same time. I'm happy with what he said. Fresh money, I can't put that in there with the kind of multiple. We're actually playing it through Austal with the boat builder.
Right.
So I think this whole area is playing quite well. The defense, the transport and logistics, services business everywhere, through mining services, professional services, they're all doing a lot better. It's one of the sectors that no one talks about.
Yeah.
But we've actually had three or four stocks that have gone 50 to 100%. I mean, Codan's gone 300%.
Yep.
And so, you know,
I've missed Codan at every single cycle. Every single one. I've never caught it. I've been watching it and never catch Codan. And one day.
It's a gold play.
It is, yes. It's
the thing is, the run has nothing to do with gold. That hasn't even kicked
in
yet.
It's the communication stuff.
Exactly. Right. So the gold, when it kicks in.
That's interesting. Okay.
It's all African villages.
So, exactly. So, if you're there, I'd hold it because of the uniqueness of the business. Mm. But we get that uniqueness through Austal. I don't want to have too many exposures in that kind of place. So
all right, final stock. Shabir, what's your view on Sonic Healthcare?
I am a fan. It looks ugly. I mean, the thing looks like, you know, it looks like Ukraine after Russia's been through it. You know, they're making good... They're making good acquisitions at the right time.
Yes.
And you know, at my age, and I am getting to that age, and then we have to do all these tests,
cry
right?
Cry me a river.
Yeah, I know.
Says who got his flu shot today.
Yeah.
I had to renew my driver's license.
I'm
double thinking of the 10-year one now. Yeah. Will it be a waste of money?
Actually, my dad just had his 80th, and he was complaining about how for the test, he has to get all these doctors to sign off so he can keep his license. Yeah. I was like, maybe you shouldn't. Sonic, look, I actually think it's like all those tests, look at the back of them. They're all going to Sonic. Mm. Yeah. You know, it's clicked demographic. This works for them, and they're getting hammered. There is the resurface of the weight loss drugs is coming through as well. It's hitting a lot of the healthcare. It hit them on Friday. I suspect that's going to play out for a period of time. But I am definitely looking at this. This is going to be in the shopping list in the near future. I don't know when.
Not right now. But it's a hold now.
It's a hold. Yeah, you're there. I wouldn't be selling.
It's a buy.
This is a good opportunity. I agree with you. I mean, actually, if it bounces to 28 and if I get a good news and the numbers are improving, I'm buying. I don't care if it's 30.
You don't need to be so clever. This is a buy. I mean, it's a really good business.
It's a good business that's been beaten now. It's a global business.
A lot of companies, you know, waft on about getting bigger and economies of scale. You can see the economies of scale.
Exactly.
They have centralized labs. The more tests they do through these centralized labs, the per test cost reduces.
Yeah.
Either the margin expands or they give that back to the government and collect more work. It's a flywheel that's hard to compete.
And every time they buy a business, they're just putting more things through it.
And it's sensible acquisitions as well. It's pretty good. I mean, I will say the margin is half since COVID, but I think the margin now is sustainable. So you're looking at sustainable earnings at 20 times, 4% yield. This is a good. This is a good buy. This is a very sensible buy.
I literally stood in front of the mirror and argued with myself. This exactly the same thing about Sony.
Yeah.
I think.
Well,
yeah.
The margins during COVID were huge.
Exactly.
Because we were paying
correctly.
Because
we're paying. Because the government doesn't know how to negotiate.
What margin do you have for sticking something up your nose and charging the government for it? All right.
More than 80% it turns out.
Yeah, no, I'll back that. I'll put a buy on it. Yeah,
I'll buy it as well.
Yeah,
okay.
Because I want that to go to the investment company.
Okay. Yeah. Wesfarmers, hold from both. Coronado, sell from Gaurav, hold from Mathan. Both of them, those say coal stocks in the thermal area, Whitehaven and New Hope are preferred to this, and they're at buy levels at the moment. Gold Road, a buy from Mathan. A hold from Gaurav Veem, a hold from both, and Sonic is a buy from both. Gaurav Sodhi from Intelligent Investing, great to see you, mate.
Good to
see you.
Thank you
for that. Nathan Somasundaram from Deep Data Analytics, good to see you. And next time you're on, we'll do Treasury as our stock of the day. Mm. My mate Tim Ford, who runs Treasury, had a beer with him at the footy on the weekend. So
may have to change your view.
What to throw up at him. All right, if you'd like us to cover any stocks on the call, go to ausbiz.co/callpicks or tweet us on X using the Ausbiz TV handle. Back same time tomorrow at midday. See you then.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.